What's happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper. We got a great show coming up for you. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will discuss the upcoming season opener, Celtics Sixers. You know, we got you covered Wednesday night, beginning at 6:30 with our pregame coverage. We even have you covered before then on the My Teams app. The NBA season gets underway on Tuesday, so you know you don't want to miss the 2019 NBA preview show. We'll tell you everything you need to know about your favorite NBA team before the NBA season even tips off. Download the My Teams app to watch the 2019 NBA preview show on October 22nd at 4 p.m. Eastern. And coming up in just a bit, we're going to get a Philly perspective of the big opening night matchup between the Celtics and Sixers. Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philly will join us on the Celtics Talk podcast. But first, let's check in with a segment from our season preview show, Scout. Sherrod, Chris Forsberg, and myself discuss the upcoming season for the Boston Celtics. Here's part of that show. Oh, yeah, the team is ready. Our team is ready as well. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to our Celtics season preview. It's presented by Eastern Propane and Oil. I'm Kyle Draper. We got Chris Forsberg, A. Sherrod Blakely, and Scout. Plus, we're going to check in with Abby and Mike and Tommy. Our whole crew is a part of this show for the next 1 hour. All right, guys, let's jump right into it, Chris. How much are you looking forward to this upcoming season, especially after the way last season ended?
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing for me. I just want to see a team that's, you know, handles adversity better, that's fun to watch, that, you know, it's an enjoyable season. I don't know what the expectations will be, and certainly they're tempered from last year. But if they play a better brand of basketball, if they get back to what we know, the Brad Stevens way of basketball, of, you know, overachieving and playing hard, it'll be a lot more enjoyable for fans to watch.
When I think about last season, the one thing that keeps going through my mind is that comment that Marcus Morris made about we're not having fun. Even when we're winning, we weren't having fun. And that's what this team needs to get back to. Enjoying the process of playing the game, enjoying the game that even if you weren't getting paid for it, you probably would still be playing it at least on the weekends or something like that. Get back to having that fun about basketball. And I think this team, the way they're constructed, I think we're going to see a lot more of that enjoyment in their play.
I don't want to overreact to the preseason, but I like the shots that we're getting. I think right from the start last year, we got awful shots at the beginning of the year. I think we got awful shots in the preseason. I like the way that we're playing right now. It seems like we have a better purpose, guys going to the basket, people making the right plays, guys finishing at the rim. That's going to be important. Yeah. I'm going to continue to bring up that restricted area field goal percentage all year long. Where were they at last year, where they're at this year?
Scal, when I look at this roster, I feel like we're wing heavy, guard heavy, slashers wing heavy as well. I'm looking at the front court. I'm looking at Enes Kanter. I'm looking at Daniel Tice. And I see, you know what, if you're Brad Stevens, like, for instance, I thought Enes Kanter was going to be our opening night starter. He may be, but it looks like Tice might be that also. And so when you look at the front court, the center position specifically, how difficult is that to manage if you're Brad Stevens? Because I don't know if you have that one guy you can always count on.
No, I don't think it's difficult because the new five-man is so different than what it was three, four years ago. This five-man is going to be required to come out there, play hard, set a screen, dive to the basket, defensively, make multiple efforts on the defensive end. I don't think you want a guy playing big minutes at that or more than 5 minutes at a time. It's just too hard of a position. So the way that the Celtics want to play, I think they'll rotate that guy in and out. But that five-man at any given time has to be the hardest playing five man we're going against. And if not, you go with somebody else. And if they can own that position in small increments, 3 minutes at a time, playing hard, getting another guy in there, then this team has a chance to do something.
You know, it's interesting, Sherrod, because we have seen the Warriors win championships playing that sort of way that Scal is mentioning, not necessarily having that 30-minute per game big man, or at least going small with Draymond at the five sometimes. And so do you see that's how the Celtics will use their big men as well?
Well, they don't have a choice. Yeah. I mean, when you look at their goal is to win games, and their best players are not at the center position. So Brad has to figure out exactly how to put the pieces together and get the best five men on the floor playing together, playing at a high level, and to Scal's point, playing hard. That can't just be the five. That has to be the one, two, three, and four. Because the way this Celtics team is built, there's a lot of interchangeability about them. So you may see, Marcus Smart guarding a point guard, and there'll be a switch where he's got to guard a four, and then you realize that four isn't that much bigger than Marcus Smart. So you have to have guys that have that mindset that when I'm on the floor, it doesn't matter who I'm guarding. I have to play hard. I have to defend. I have to play with an edge because, frankly, I'm going to have to if we're going to have a chance to be successful.
Ultimately, it comes down to the guys buying in, right? Like, everyone wants to know their role, but if they're okay that Brad's going to match these guys up where they fit best, then, it's easier for them to embrace that role. And so, like opening night, like I think Daniel Tice has played really well in the preseason. Matching up with Embiid probably isn't his best matchup. He got pushed around last year. But, if you can slide someone in there for that one night who maybe fits better, like does Poirier able to joust with him better? I wonder how Brad will mix and match with these guys, and if they're on board with that, then maybe good things will happen.
Yeah, and the opening lineup we see Wednesday against the Sixers may not be the one that we see, whether it's against Milwaukee or Toronto. I mean, the Sixers are such a big team. We'll see how Brad matches up. One guy I'm looking forward to seeing, though, is Jaylen Brown going into his fourth season. And I feel like Jaylen looks very aggressive out there so far this preseason, Sherrod. Obviously a contract year. Monday is the deadline to get that extension done. I don't know if it'll happen, but how big of a year is this for Jaylen, and what do you see happening with his contract?
Well, first of all, I think Jaylen is going to do what Jaylen tends to do every year, and that shows some significant area of growth in his game. We've seen him go from a guy that was just an athlete, someone who can finish around the rim, who shot the ball, I thought, really well from the corner three, doing little things to add to his game so that he can enhance his value, not only to the Celtics, but throughout the league. Because as you pointed out, this is a contract year, and you want to be playing your best, but you want to be the best version of yourself. Brad Stevens line right there. You want to be the best version of yourself whenever you're out there, and I think Jaylen Brown is poised to be that night in and night out. When you look at all the stuff he went through last season, in and out of the starting lineup and coming off the bench and not really sure where he fit in, but he found his place, and that's just being Jaylen Brown.
Yes, Scal, and the reports out there are that the Celtics offered a four-year, $80 million contract.
I'm not sure that's true, but when it comes to the contract, I don't think it really matters. He's a restricted free agent. Whether he gets it done for somewhat of a discount now or he rolls the dice on himself, all that stuff is – that doesn't matter about this season. Matters about the
– So players don't think about that during the year? Can that – be on Jaylen Brown's mind throughout?
Yeah, but here's the difference.
Yeah.
You want to think about your contract? There's plenty of other guys we can go to if it's affecting your play. But more than likely with Jaylen Brown, in my opinion – that him thinking about his contract could make him play better, could make him be a better two-way player, could make him focus more on making shots. So I don't think the contract is going to be an issue. I just think when it comes to Jaylen Brown, he wants to establish himself as one of the premier two guards, the premier two-way two guards, or even the three, or versatility defensively. And I think he's shown that so far in the preseason, yet I don't want to overreact to that.
Drapes, you think about the market next summer, 2020 free agency class is bare. Someone's going to give him money. There's going to be money out there for him to earn on that class. And ultimately, I just think Jaylen is focused on basketball. I don't think. We saw how well he handled the end of last season where, a lot of these guys were in roles they didn't want to be in or tough situations, and him more than anybody embraced that. So I think whether this gets done or not, he's going to go out there and play, and he's going to be motivated to show that he is one of the better players in this league.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm expecting big things out of Jaylen. Same thing with Jason Tatum. I mean, he even admitted he didn't play the way he wanted to, didn't play up to, his expectations. Chris, so what are you expecting this year? I see just from watching preseason, watching him a little bit during Team USA, I mean, I see a more confident Jason Tatum.
Did you see that preseason shot chart?
I did. Look at his threes in the paint.
He's skewing the mid-range. Right, I think only three shots outside of 10 feet. He's bought in, right? And for the whole decobying thing, he's already said, I'm still going to take some mid-range shots, and you get it. Like, that's a good shot for him when it's open, when defenses are back protecting the rim. But Jason Tatum has such incredible length, athleticism. He's got to be aggressive going to the basket. He's got to get to the free throw line. And I think he saw the benefits of that in the preseason. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well. But if he takes threes and layups, good things are going to happen.
The thing about Jaylen that about Tatum that I find myself thinking more about is how when he first became a Celtic, what the focus was. Defense. That was the only way he was going to play. Listening to Marcus Smart, listening to, you know, Jaylen Brown, they told him, look, you see Gordon Hayward, you see Kyrie, guess what? You're not going to get a ton of shots like you did at Duke. He figured that out, and you look at his defensive rating as a rookie, it was better than it was last season. I think he was thinking more about becoming a scorer last year. I think he is, more than anything else, he's learned from the last 2 years about he ultimately has to be competent and effective at both ends of the floor. And as Chris pointed out, that length is really one of his assets that doesn't get a whole lot of attention. He's going to be all right.
Scal, how does the roster changes, Kyrie gone, Morris, you know, some of the other guys now playing with a guy like Kemba, how do you think that'll impact Tatum?
I think Tatum will just – I think all that stuff has very little to do with his ability to get to the basket. I think he has to have a focus on getting to the basket. Basketball is a sport in which whatever you want to emphasize, whatever you want to work on, that player could do that. He emphasized mid-range jump shots. He emphasized the step back, you know, the delayed isolation. This year he's emphasizing going to the basket. I think he'll be a better player because he'll go to the basket. I don't care who's on the roster. I don't think that matters.
So you don't think he deferred to Kyrie and Gordon and was at times it seemed like he was trying to figure out his place out there on the floor too. I felt like that for a number of guys.
I've never been in a situation personally where I was like, man, I could get to the basket, but I'm not. I'm going to shoot a terrible shot because of Kyrie. I don't even understand that question, Kyle. It's like you want to blame things on Kyrie.
You wanted to, here's the thing. I felt like at times the players thought, all right, Kyrie's the number one. And now I don't feel like they feel like, all right, Kemba's the number one. We got to get Kemba the ball. I feel like, you know what?
Maybe you should ask them that. I don't know.
You're the former player.
No, I'm telling you, I don't think like that.
Ray Allen was, you know, I got to get the ball to Ray. Did you feel like give the ball to KG?
No, it's make the right basketball play. Okay. It's not like, oh, today I'm dribbling up. I got to give the ball to Ray. You just make the right play. That's all they talk about in practice. They don't say you can't shoot. You got to pass to him. They say make the right play. And you know what the right play is? Drive the ball to the basket.
All right, we got our first argument of the show. So much more to get to, including right now, Sherrod, Gordon Hayward. Is he back? Come on, big fella.
It's a yes or no question.
I know, right?
No, it's a bad question. Listen, is he back to being what? The guy he was in Utah?
An all-star.
No, because he hasn't played a damn game yet. Okay. We don't know. Right now, he's going to be better than he was last year. We can absolutely say that without question. How good is he going to be? It remains to be seen. I like the fact that when he's out there, he's just playing the game. You talk to teammates like Kemba, who's watched him from afar and obviously now up close. He says that's the biggest difference between the Gordon Hayward he sees now and the one that he saw last season. Last season, he seemed like he was trying to figure out, you know, his body and just whether he should take shots, should he pass. He was thinking way, overthinking the process. This, in the preseason, he hasn't seen that from him.
3 months. He'll be back. Yeah. He'll get to the basket. He'll elevate without thinking. He'll take quicker shots. Bodies fly off of him. He drives. He gets contact. He plays through contact. He has not done that yet. I'm not saying he's bad. He's better than he was last year. It'll be 3 months of taking those hits day in and day out and be like, you know what, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll say this. The eye test suggests that he's got that explosion at times back. He looks craftier going to the basket. I understand why the hype train was as heavy as it was this summer. You sort of see that what everyone else sees now, that he's closer to his former self. And just like, another guy who didn't shoot the ball particularly well in the preseason, but you got the sense that if he plays the way he did, those shots are eventually going to fall.
Next up, Abby Chin joins us as we discuss the rookies and what impact they could have on the Celtics this season. Abby's at the New England Forward touchscreen. All right, Abby, we're talking rookies, right?
Yes, we are. This is Rookie Watch 2019. This class drawing rave reviews from everyone you talk to, coach to the players. Coach Stevens said this is the hardest working group he's ever had. So I want to know from you guys what kind of impact we can actually expect from these guys. So let's start, Sherrod, with you. And I want to talk about Carson Edwards, who we just saw going nuts in the preseason finale, ended up with 30 points, 26 in that third quarter, 8 threes in less than 6 minutes. Shrod, what can we expect from him this season?
Well, I don't think we're going to see too many nights like we saw the other night in Cleveland, but damn, he's the ultimate flamethrower out there. I mean, seems everything he throws up is going to go in. When you have a guy like that coming off your bench, you become a major problem. And the thing I love about him is that most of his points, they're catch and shoot. If you've got guys setting great screens, he's going to get good to great looks, and we already know what he can do with that. That is going to be a weapon that the Celtics are going to absolutely destroy teams on at various points throughout the season. And the one thing I love about him in that game was, if you remember, he did not get off to the best of starts, yet that did not deter him from absolutely filet mignoning the Cleveland cadavers in the second half.
He is the guy, though, that we may not see every night. However, Grant Williams, Scal, I know you could not love this guy anymore.
Yeah, I think Grant Williams is exactly what the Celtics need if they want to run this four position with a guy like that. He's getting better shooting the ball above the break, which is really important. And to me, he seems like a type of guy that has to play with good players. I liked him when he's playing alongside the Jaylen Browns, the Jason Tatums. I'm not sure if we have a good reflection of what Grant Williams is just by watching him with a lot of the backups. I think the better players around him, the smarter players around him, is going to allow him to play better. I also think that about Carson Edwards as well.
Kyle, one guy who has already been dealing with some injury issues, we haven't seen much of him, is Romeo Langford, but he was the Celtics' top pick in this draft. Are you expecting much from him this season?
Well, of course he's my guy, right? And I should say, you know what, he's going to have a great year, but the numbers just aren't in his favor. I mean, think about it. He's playing behind a Jaylen Brown. He's playing behind a Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum. And so I think the big thing for Romeo this year is to, A, be healthy, you know, work through all these nagging injuries that he's been dealing with. And B, he's going to get some time, I think, up in Maine and go up there and show out. You know, when you talk to some of his teammates, they say this guy just falls into buckets. I feel like he's an elite scorer, elite getting to the basket, finishing around the rim. We haven't seen it during the preseason because of injuries, but I don't think we can, you know, indict Romeo by what happens this season. I think, you know, for him, it's about what happens in years two or three in Boston, and we'll see how the roster winds up, Abby.
Yes, but you bring up Maine. Remember, the Celtics just acquired the Red Claws, and you can see 24 of their games right here on NBC Sports Boston, featuring, let's talk about the two-way guys. I'm going to start with Tremont Waters, Chris. This guy put on a show in the preseason, proving that while he may be on a two-way contract, I think he definitely belongs at the NBA level.
Yeah, lost in Carson Edwards' explosion with that. Tremont had a phenomenal game, and what really stands out about him is just his feel for the game. He doesn't play like a second round 51st pick. He has this incredible ability to sort of slow things down. He has got great vision and feel in the pick and roll. He's able to probe his way and, despite his size, get layups and twist guys around.
Look at that.
It's fascinating to watch him play. It's good. I honestly wonder if the Celtics had known he was going to be this far ahead coming into the season, if maybe they would have thought of maybe one of the actual roster spots for him instead of a two-way. But he's going to get reps and he's going to get a chance to develop, and that's great depth for them moving forward.
He's going to be MVP of the G League if he plays enough games. He is so far advanced in anybody at that level. It is going to be fun to watch him.
Hold on, Scal. What about Taco Fall? Taco Mania has consumed Boston. He is signed to a two-way contract, which means we will get to see a ton of him in Maine. Do you think he could have any impact on the big boy Celtics this season?
No. The game is too fast for him. He has to practice at a speed that's much faster than he's ever practiced at. He has a long ways to go. I will say this, though. From a coaching standpoint, he's going to have to learn. Like, you have to coach him differently than you even think how you normally would coach a normal big man. Your angles, the way you tell him to come out and switch guards and how they run pick and roll offensively, how you run pick and roll. But the one thing that Taco has to do is increase his speed. Play faster, practice faster, challenge himself every single day, and then maybe, just maybe, somewhere down the road, we'll be talking about Taco making an impact for 10 to 15 minutes on the Celtics.
10 to 15 minutes. All right. We'll look forward to that. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me in Rookie Watch.
Now it's time to get you ready for opening night when the Celtics take on the Sixers. And for a Philly perspective, let's bring in Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philly. He covers the Sixers for NBCSportsPhilly.com. Paul, thanks for jumping on the Celtics Talk podcast. Obviously, everyone's getting ready for Wednesday night's big matchup down there in Philly. First of all, how is this opening night matchup being viewed down there? Because I remember last year, it was like when Boston came to town, Philly was ready. How is the vibe this year going into the Wednesday night game?
Philly's definitely ready. Definitely ready to host it this year. Definitely ready, you know, with the team they have and all the hype that's surrounding this team right now. It is at a fever pitch around here. People are really excited to see what this team looks like on the floor. Obviously, if it doesn't go their way, everyone's probably going to freak out and panic and the sky will be falling. But as of now, everyone's pretty excited, and I'm sure Wells Fargo Center is going to be nuts on Wednesday night.
One of the things that Philly has done this year is they've added obviously some new pieces to the puzzle, most notably Al Horford. How has that dynamic worked as in the preseason? I mean, is Al playing a decent amount with Embiid? Will he play a decent amount with Embiid, or will they kind of fluctuate the two? How are they going to make those two guys work in concert with each other?
It's been really interesting to see the way that's all worked out. It seems like Brett Brown has every intention of playing them an awful lot together. When you have those two on the floor, obviously defensively, it makes a lot of problems for the opposition with all the size and length and just both of them being, you know, above average elite defenders. It does seem like Al is going to, you know, in the preseason, I don't remember the exact number, but he's taken a ton of threes. And I think that's something they're really going to rely on him. You know, he's been at above average his time in Boston. He was above average behind the three-point line. And, you know, the Sixers losing J.J. Redick, they're going to count on Al to take a lot of outside shots and hopefully make some. And I think, you know, it was brought up yesterday at practice. The biggest thing is when Embiid doesn't play, or, you know, even if he's just not, when he's not on the floor, having a guy like Al to be the backup center is like an embarrassment of riches. You know, a guy who's been an all-star, is considered an elite defender in the post. To have a guy like that, whereas last year, you know, they're trotting out Greg Monroe in Game 7 against the Raptors, to now have a guy like Al, that's where it's going to really be huge. But I do think they're going to play a fair amount together. And when the move happened, when they signed Al, that was my biggest point of curiosity, is how they're going to mesh together. I think what is good, and you guys will know this very well, is that Al is the kind of guy who doesn't need a ton of touches, doesn't need a ton of shots. He's gonna play his role. He's gonna do his thing, and I think that's ultimately gonna work out really well for the Sixers.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, clearly the addition of Al Horford and Josh Richardson, I think, is huge. But I feel like the Sixers only go as far as Embiid and Ben Simmons take them. How much is on their shoulders this year, and what kind of pressure do you think they're feeling going into this season?
It's 100% on their shoulders, and again, that's something I wrote for our side. I know even after all these moves happened, and they were great moves, you know, getting out and getting Josh Richardson, who has looked really, really good in the preseason. You get those two guys, but it's always going to come down to those two. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they're the franchise guys. They're the leaders of this team. They're the guys who have been here the longest. They are what makes everything go. I'll tell you, Ben Simmons it's a different vibe with him entirely this year. He's got like a maturity to him and just like this positive vibe around him that wasn't always there in the past. Those quotes obviously got a lot of headlines about him falling back in love with the game. And you can see it. And also, it seems he really wants to take on a leadership role. When we talked to Al yesterday and when we talked to him in the past as well, he's been sure to mention that Ben has been one of the leaders, one of the guys who's really making sure everyone's up to speed, making sure everyone's growing that chemistry. And, you know, shot is obviously the biggest topic. That's the biggest topic here. It's one of the biggest topics in the entire NBA. And it's going to continue to be if he doesn't take and make shots. But there is certainly a different vibe around him, and it's been positive. With Joel Embiid, Joe is Joe. He's, you know, he's a different kind of cat. He knows the pressure that's on him. He knows that he's got to stay healthy. You know, he says 20 pounds this offseason. He does look good. You know, the other night in Detroit, it was pretty ridiculous to watch Thon Maker even try to hang with him. He pretty much had his way. and that's how he is on most nights. That's the biggest thing, you know, the biggest two storylines with the Sixers, and it hasn't changed with the additions, is Ben Simmons taking shots and Joel Embiid's health. Those are going to be the two biggest storylines throughout the season, and they're not going to go away until they make a deep run in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I wanted to touch on a little bit more of the shot, specifically Ben Simmons, who doesn't take shots outside of the paint, and whether in the preseason is he showing signs of being more willing to do that? Because, you know, watching him play, just for the average basketball fan, it's a little frustrating, because as talented as he is, the portals that will open for him as a basketball player if he can make a damn 15-footer are scary. Is he even looking to take that shot? Because, you know, I don't care if he makes it. I want him to at least take the shot. And that's, to me, that's the part about his game that frustrates more than anything. It's not that he misses those shots. He doesn't even take them. Is he showing signs of being willing to take them now?
Well, that sign of frustration is shared by pretty much every Sixers fan here. So definitely understood there. It's obviously, you know, he hit the three against the team from the Chinese Basketball Association.
A CBA team.
It looked good.
Nice.
But I will say, then the next night, or two nights later, they were in Charlotte. And, you know, there was a play in the first quarter. He took a couple dribbles in and took like a 15-foot fadeaway and swished it. And
it was there you go.
It was a viral, confident shot. But, I mean, there are signs that he's going to look to be more aggressive and that he's going to look for that shot a little bit more. It's tough in the preseason because he gave a really good quote the other day where he talked about the fact that he knows he's not a good shooter and he knows, you know, that's not his strength and that he's working on it. He's trying to get better. And I think that, you know, when they play a team like a Charlotte, like, let's be realistic, Charlotte's not good.
When
he plays a team like that, he's looking to attack the rim because he knows, I don't need to take a jump shot against that team. What's going to be the test is when he goes up against a team like the Celtics that have played him very well defensively in the past, that are going to give him plenty of space to shoot. And it's going to happen opening night. So that's going to be the real test. So to answer your question, there are certainly signs that he's going to be more aggressive, that he's not going to pass up as nearly as many shots as he has in the past. But it's that Wednesday is going to be the first test of many to see if he actually does it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Paul. I think, you know, these two teams may be on a collision course in the Eastern Conference Finals. To me, it depends on how Gordon Hayward develops. From an outsider, how do you view the Celtics? What do you think about this Celtics team this year?
Well, from what I've heard from people I've talked to, it's a lot of kumbaya stuff, which is a nice adjustment from last year for you guys. Kemba's a guy I've always liked from afar. Obviously, he dropped 60 on the Sixers last year. Mm-hmm. He always seems to give the Sixers fits. They're hoping that Josh Richardson helps at least a little bit of that. But, you know, I love the addition of Kemba from on and off the court standpoint. You mentioned Gordon Hayward. I think that's huge. Is Gordon Hayward, you know, if he can even resemble the guy that the Celtics, you know, thought they were getting pre-injury, that's going to be huge. And then the two wings, the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're two young guys. Those guys both need to take, to me, a big step forward if the Celtics want to hang with the Sixers and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference. They want to be in that range. Those two guys are both going to take a big step forward. Obviously, Jaylen Brown's got a lot to prove. He's looking for a big time extension, so he's definitely got plenty of motivation to want to, you know, play well. Jason Tatum has looked really good at times. His offensive game looks like, you know, it's coming along. Looks like he's developing. Looks like he's being a little more aggressive to the basket. I'm very, very curious about their situation at center. Obviously, not a lot of teams have that strength at center. But it'll be interesting to see against the Sixers how Cantor holds up and how guys like Daniel Tice and how that kind of works out with them. That's probably my biggest question with the Celtics is their center situation, is how that's all going to play out, especially on the defensive end.
Paul Hudrick, I'll tell you what, man. You can come on the Celtics Talk podcast anytime. Although, I would like him going forward to give us some bulletin board material, man. You were too complimentary of the Celtics. You know, we need
that's the Al Horford influence. Everyone becomes two times nicer when Al's around. Damn it, Al!
I can see that. But I'll tell you, it's funny. We do the Sixers Talk podcast, obviously, for NBC Sports Philly, and I do it with my guy Danny Palmels, who's one of our anchors and reporters, and he has given me the nickname "Level-headed Paul." Because that's just me, man. Like, I don't, I'm not going to be one of those guys who's got the hot takes. I'm just going to tell you what I see and what I think. And, yeah, like I to me, that's the Celtics, obviously, you know, clearly there's a little bit of a step back, but I'm going to wait to see how it plays out on the court. And, you know, you guys want to come back to me in a few months and I can give you a more honest assessment. I'm glad to do that.
All right, Paul Hudrick, make sure you follow him on Twitter. Paul Hudrick is his Twitter handle. He covers the Sixers for NBCS Philly. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. You heard from everybody in our crew here at NBC Sports Boston. Make sure you go out there and like and subscribe NBC Sports Boston Celtics Talk podcast on all your favorite apps. And don't forget, we have you covered. Opening night, Celtics Sixers. We are live in Philly beginning at 6:30 with Celtics pregame live. For everybody here that was a part of the show, I'm Kyle Draper. I'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We are out.